September the 11th taught us that terrorists will try to use the openness of our country against us. We must understand and correct our vulnerabilities. We need to know who's coming in and who's going out of our country.
After 9/11, President George W. Bush and his administration decided the United States needed to secure its borders in the interest of national security. So on February 28, 2003, President Bush announced an overhaul of the nation's security infrastructure to employees of the newly created Department of Homeland Security.
March 1st marks an important day for our government and for our country. The work ahead won't always be easy. You've accepted a difficult mission. But I'm confident in the success of our efforts because I'm confident in you.
One new and important addition was an agency called Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which would come to be known as ICE. Back in 2003, the agency had a budget of just $3.3 billion in its first year of operation. But by 2013, ICE's budget had nearly doubled to almost $6 billion. The United States was spending more on immigration enforcement than all other federal criminal law enforcement agencies, including the FBI and the DEA combined. Today, the agency has become the focus of one of the most contentious debates in the country. And depending on who you ask, its employees are dangerous agents of the state or federal employees who are doing the job they've been asked to do. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, we look at the department at the center of the immigration debate in the United States. John Amaya was the deputy chief of staff for ICE from 2015 to 2017, and Alonzo Pena was the deputy director of ICE from 2008 to 2010 and had worked with the agency since its inception. Alonzo takes us through how ICE began to change under the Obama administration.
As soon as Obama came in and John Morton came in as the director and I as the deputy, one of the things we looked at was to reform the detention centers and how people were being detained, what service were being provided to them, providing, you know, secure, safe, and humane detention for the people that were going to be coming into detention. And then also there was a big focus under the Obama administration and under Director Morton to prioritize, you know, the resources that we were given, and the top priorities were going to be threats to national security, threats to public safety, people with gang, you know, affiliation, leaning toward committing violent acts, and then anybody that we felt that posed a threat to the community, we were going to work with state and local law enforcement agencies to go after those people that we felt were the greatest threats.
John, you were the deputy chief of staff for ICE from 2015 to 2017. Tell us a little bit about your experience when you joined the agency.
Sure. So at the time that I joined the agency, the president and then Secretary Johnson had moved to implement an executive action and really narrowly focus the priorities of the agency to ensure that, consistent with what Alonzo was just saying, that the agency is focused on national security threats, on criminal threats to society, and of course, recent border entries. I was charged as the designated federal officer in overseeing an advisory review of family detention as it existed at that time.
There's a lot of reporting and a lot of sort of back and forth among you know, a lot of our audience about what happened under the Obama administration and what didn't happen. And just so we're clear with our listeners, family separation was not a part of the Obama administration's policies. Is that correct?
The separation of families was absolutely not happening. It was something that was discussed internally, which I can assure you that even in the most securest facilities where these discussions were being taken place, ICE strenuously at the time opposed even pursuing families for arrest once they had been released because of the optics and what it would do, not just to the families who were going to be ripped apart, but also the psyche of the agents who were going to have to do this job and physically remove children from the arms of their mothers. We were not doing that.
And I want to get back to the psyche of the agents in just a minute, but I will say, and I'm sure you both are aware, that the Obama administration was roundly criticized for its enforcement, if you will, of immigration practices. So many folks are saying that it essentially laid the groundwork
for the current administration to escalate these practices. Do either of you have a response to that?
Let me make a couple of comments on that.
And sure.
It's going to maybe dovetail on something that that John just spoke about. There was two big programs that were instituted, and those two programs initially were programs that were supposed to identify, as we talked earlier, as John and I both have said, you know, a prioritization of who our targets were going to be. That's the way it was supposed to come out. But unfortunately, I think we had some problems in the field having people follow those directions, because at the end of the day, you got human nature coming into play, and a stat for some people is a stat, whether, you know, you put a gang member and you put him in a removal proceeding, or whether you put somebody who just got stopped because they had a broken taillight. And I think that's one of the things that resulted in why Obama got the title of deporter in chief, because we were using these programs that were designed and initially came out that we were going to use them to attack the threats. And unfortunately, some in the field, they didn't operate under the guidelines that we were giving them.
John, your reaction to that?
Sure. I think Alonzo is on point in terms of the intent of the program. And the other issue that I will add is that the other problem when it came to some of this outsourcing or these relationships that we had with local jurisdictions is that oftentimes, you know, the individuals' jurisdictions that would enter into these programs were politically driven. And when you identify some of these folks that include the likes of Joe Arpaio in Arizona, and you know everyone knows his background and his troubles, but you also have other sheriffs who, for better or for worse, there were county sheriffs in Illinois, one in particular who was trying to cross-reference Puerto Rican-born U.S. citizens to ICE. And I think, you know, the criticism was fair, as Alonzo said. President Obama once, you know, as a government, we were deporting over 400,000 people a year, you know, got the title of deporter in chief.
And John, I want to sort of go back to your comment about trauma, because I think that it's important for our listeners to understand who and how that trauma is created. You mentioned some of the ICE agents were traumatized or could potentially feel traumatized because of their jobs. I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Yeah, I mean, I think listeners probably would be less sympathetic to the officers and more sympathetic to the mothers and the babies, which I think is appropriate. But I just want to make clear that I heard multiple times an officer or an agent tell me, we did not sign up for this. We did not sign up to put car seats in the back of our vehicles. We did not sign up to arrest mommies and babies. They signed up to protect the nation. And by arresting the most vulnerable in society, that's not exactly doing that.
Alonzo, what is your take on what you're seeing in the past couple of weeks?
Well, to me, it's very disturbing that we have gotten to the point that we would institute a policy like that, that anybody who crosses the border, that which is for whatever reason, to not use, you know, discretion, prosecutorial discretion. It's just a sad commentary that this whole issue has become so political that we're willing to do that. That we had an administration that was willing to take those steps and actually implement that policy, knowing that it was the possibility that there'd be this collateral issue of separating children from their parents. It's just very, very disturbing to me that we would have an administration that would go forward with such a policy.
I'd echo what Alonzo said, and I would just add that, you know, I'm personally offended and disgusted by what I'm seeing, because I never imagined that we would be in a scenario where the President of the United States and the Attorney General of the United States, the highest ranking law enforcement official in this country, would make the types of comments that they make on the air that were typically reserved for the most extreme voices on television and radio, to include labeling an entire demographic as invaders, as criminals, and yet that's where we are today. And this is how and why they've been able to get to the point where they are. They dehumanize an entire population to ensure that, I don't know, maybe they can sleep better at night, but certainly so that way they can justify the policies that they're putting into place, and then quickly laugh off this idea that, you know, they really didn't want to do this, but the laws that were put in place by the past administration forced them to do so, which any person with an average IQ understands that is a complete farce. They put themselves into this position. They created the crises that they found themselves in. We had a real crisis in 2014 when we had large numbers of unaccompanied children and families coming across the border. That was a real humanitarian crisis. What we're seeing right now is something that was self-induced. It was a political crisis of their own creation.
Are either of you in touch with people who are currently working within ICE? And if so, I wonder if you could share with us a little bit about the feelings that those folks are having.
I can say for Alonzo, the vast majority of the people that I've talked to are very dismayed and very disheartened by this zero tolerance policy and the separation of that's resulting in the separation of children from their parents. But there's a few who are hardliners who say, well, they're just enforcing the law. The laws have been on the books, and you know they're finally getting to do their job. That's a minority.
So, in both of your expertise and experience, what, if anything, can be done?
When it comes to the agents that actually have to do their job, I just say it's very difficult for an agent who is trying to put, you know, finish a career, have a career, do the right thing every day, make the right decisions when the leadership, when it's coming from the very top, seeing them defend these policies with lies or misstatements or falses, whatever you want to call them, and have those agents want to do their job every day, and knowing their job is so difficult, but it just gets complicated when the leadership is going to defend these policies the way they are.
John, did you want to add anything to that? Or
sure. I think when officers and agents are just a handful of years away from retirement, and they've seen what can be done to some of the highest ranking officials within the FBI in such a public way, to be your garden variety line officer or line agent, it's a place of solitude. It's a very lonely place to be when you're trying to protect yourself and ensure that you can provide for your family, and you only have a handful of years left to ensure that you complete your 20 years or your mandatory and are able to ensure those benefits are passed on to your family.
And I appreciate you both answering those questions, although I'm sure there will be listeners who, as you mentioned earlier, John, would say, well, you know, who cares about the officers? What about the families? And I think that's it's a tough question and conversation to have. But I do appreciate both of your answers, your willingness to talk to us. Alonzo Pena was the deputy director of ICE from 2008 to 2010, and John Amaya was the deputy chief of staff for ICE from 2015 to 2017. Alonzo and John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.